So thank you, moms. And it goes quickly, doesn't it? It happens fast. You know, we do want to say thanks to moms. And also, we recognize that for some, today isn't an easy day. It's a hard day. Maybe you've lost your mom recently, or you've lost a child. And today's a reminder of what you don't have that you want to have. Or maybe you had a difficult relationship with your mom, or a tough time with one of your kids, or wanting to have children, haven't had kids. There's a lot of reasons why that for some, today is actually not an easy day. It's actually a difficult day. And so whether we're celebrating or whether we're reminded of some hurt or disappointment, I want to pray for us and ask God to meet us in our place of need, wherever that might be. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather here. And Father, we do want to say thank you to moms. And regardless of whether today is a celebration day or a reminder day of something we're missing, Father, we pray that you would help all of us be grateful and to see you in the midst of this. And you invite us as your children to cast our concerns, our cares, our stresses, our worries on you. And Father, help us to do that. And may we be reminded of your goodness and grace and love and mercy that you extend to us and that you invite us to be your friends. Father, we are so thankful for that. And so, Lord, help us to, as we come in, to set aside the distractions, allow you to speak into our lives. Father, we are thankful for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, we're in the middle of this series, Life Hacks, and we let you pick the topics. And so no surprise of the topics that showed up, because they're the topics that are big deal issues for us. Today, it's about time management, and that's a big one for all of us, because time seems to get away from us, and how do we manage and control, and why are we, our lives feel so chaotic at times, and I suppose none more so than for young families who are trying to manage kids and jobs and life and all the stuff that goes with that. And if we're being honest, it's moms who take the brunt of all of that for the most part. They do extra work and all the extra load on that. And we are busy. I don't ever meet anybody who isn't busy. Everybody I know is busy. In fact, when we ask people, how are you doing? We no longer say good or fine. We say busy. This week alone, I caught myself saying, man, I am swamped right now, or I've got a crazy schedule, or sorry, I'm behind on email, or I need a clone, I got to get a light. I catch myself making those statements. All of us are busy, and guess what? In America today, being busy is a new badge of honor. In fact, we reward people who are busy. We get value from that. We get worth from that. We get some esteem out of that. After all, who's busy? I mean, busy people are important people. They're valuable people. They're people who've got stuff going on. I mean, after all, we're busy. We are needed. We are wanted. So we wear that badge of being busy. But the problem is that, are we actually accomplishing what we want to accomplish? Because whatever controls our time controls our life. And so when you look at your life, how you're spending your time, what does it say about what you care about, what you value? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 speaks these words. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time, or redeeming your time, some translations. That we ought to be paying attention to the time. We shouldn't be unwise, but wise. We ought to steward this time. We ought to pay attention to this time. Time matters. Now, there's a ton of stuff about us that isn't equal. If we go across all of our services and our campuses, and we put all the bodies who are a part of LifeBridge together, here's what we know. There isn't much about us that's the same. We are different. We are all over the map. We're all over the map politically. We're all over the map about things that we care about. We're all over the map and what resources we have and abilities we have and opportunities we have and experiences we've had. We aren't the same. But one thing every single person has in common is the amount of time we have. And some of us are under this myth that we believe that others seem to get more time than we get. Look how much time they've got. Well, the truth is, they got the same amount of time you have. We all get the same day, 60 minutes in an hour, 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 365 days in a year. We all get the same amount of time. It's what we do with that time. It's how we recognize that time. It's how we're paying attention to that time that matters. The psalmist said this, David's prayer. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Here's what he's saying. Man, help me to pay attention to my days. Help me to value my days. Help me to recognize that there is a limit to my days. Only so much time, even when we feel like we've got everything in front of us, there's only so much time. And so we're going to look at some practical stuff around what do we do with our time? How do we pay attention to our time? And I don't want to give you some philosophical discussion about that. I want to kind of take a practical approach. Lone Ranger and Tonto were out crossing the plains, and so they set up camp, and they both woke up in the middle of the night, and this huge blanket of stars over their head, and Tano said to the Lone Ranger, Kimosabe, what does that say to you? And Lone Ranger looked up and said, well, astronomically, it says there are billions of stars and millions of galaxies and who knows how many planets, how big the universe is. We have no idea. And astrologically, it tells me that Saturn is in Leo right now. And meteorologically, it tells me we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow. It's just going to be gorgeous weather. Theologically, it tells me that God is magnificent, significant, above all, overall, and we are so small and insignificant. And if I look at where the stars are placed right now, it also tells me the time is about 3:15 a.m. What does it say to you, Tano? He sat there and stared up at the sky for a second. He looked over and he said, it tells me someone stole our tent. Well, we're going to look at a practical way here. That's all you're getting this morning, by the way. That's it on the jokes. David in the Psalms said this, teach us to number our days that we might gain a heart of wisdom. The average lifespan for people in the U.S. currently today is 78.6 years old, 78.6. You spend 300 months of your life sleeping, 120 months of your life working, 18 months exercising. You watch television 109 months of your life. And if you don't DVR, you spend 24 months watching commercials. You clean for 13 months of your life. You cook for 30 months. You eat for 45 months. Some of you eat a lot. You drive 51 months of your life. And 3 months of that is actually just sitting still in a traffic jam somewhere. Use the bathroom 18 months, 3 months of that on the toilet. If you're a woman, you shop 96 months of your life. If you're a man, you spend 12 months of your life staring at women shopping. You spend 24 months in meetings, 18 months getting ready in the morning, only half a month kissing. We'll have to work on that one. If you have a desk job, you spend 60 months sitting at your desk. And if the current trend holds still, although it's going up every year, you spend 60 months of your life online, and half of those 60 months, you're spending posting stuff online. So you're posting about what your life is like when you could actually be living your life. And when it's all said and done, you only have 232 months left. What do you do with your time? Last week, I encouraged you to write on your tombstone. We gave you those cards. I hope you did that. I hope you did that exercise, valuable exercise. What you wanted said about you at the end of your days, what might be said about you. I love what the late Irma Bombeck said. She wanted on her tombstone, said, no big deal, I'm used to dust. What are you going to do with your days? How are you going to spend your time? So in my 20s, in my mid to late 20s, early 30s, I used to, as a kind of a part-time gig, teach time management seminars. I would travel all over the country, corporations, executives, teaching time management stuff. I learned a lot about time management principles and tools and resources, and there's a lot of stuff around that that's phenomenally valuable. And I also figured out along the way, this wasn't a Christian organization I was doing this work for, but what I did learn along the way, that every single one of those time management principles that I was out teaching, actually Jesus did in one fashion or another. And whether he did those intentionally or intuitively, he was actually paying attention to the stewardship of time. Because if you're a follower, if you're a believer, all of us are invited to be stewards, and stewards over everything. And one of the biggest resources we have is our time. What we do with our time matters. And of all the time management stuff that I've learned along the way and taught along the way, here's the one single best piece of advice I ever got about my time. And it was from a gentleman who was in his 60s when I was in my 20s. And I had been a Christian a long time. And here's what he said. He said, "Rick, here's what I believe. I believe God gives you enough time in the day to do the things that he wants you to do. And the rest of it, you need to sort." That every day there's enough time for you to do what you should be doing. And the rest of it is on you to sort. And so let me give you some practical steps. And I want to look at an illustration in Jesus' life along the way that ties to this practical thing. First of all, you have to have a plan. You ought to assume some responsibility. A lot of us just kind of assume that time gets away from us, that when there's just so much stuff that's out of our control. And there are plenty of things that are out of your control and my control. There are a lot of things that are not within my ability to control. But the truth is, I need to accept responsibility for my time, for today, what I'm doing in this day. That's on me. And it begins when we have a plan. Do you have a plan? Start with the big rocks. What is it you value? What is it you care about? What is it that you find significant? Because here's what I find fascinating. You've heard me say this before. You give me your checkbook and your calendar, and in a few minutes, I can tell you what you care the most about. Because where you spend your time and where you spend your money are on the things you value. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter what slogan you have. Doesn't matter what you convince others of. And so are you doing the things that you really care about? Are you planning? Are you making any plans? Do you have some ideas of what you're going to do? Are you working on those big rock things? In Luke chapter 4, Jesus launches his ministry this way. He's in his hometown. He's in the synagogue of his hometown. And it was appropriate that they would often ask someone to read the scripture. And so now he's reading this passage from the Old Testament out of Isaiah. Unrolls the scroll to this spot, and here's what Jesus says: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." And you watch Jesus from that moment forward. Everything about his life was intentional about accomplishing what he had just read. It was focused on what God had called him to do. It was focused on what he wanted to do. He budgeted his time and his day and his efforts and resources around that. The first thing you and I need to do is have a plan. What is it that you want to do? What is it that you hope happens? What are the things you want to see accomplished? And take some responsibility for that. The second is to prioritize. To look at what you want to do and to prioritize. And so when I work on a week, I look ahead for the whole week. And I begin to build some priorities. And one of the key things I learned early on was that if the night before, before I go to sleep, if I will review what I have coming up the next day. And so as I end my day, every day, I try to look at what's coming. I try to look at what's on my schedule. I try to prioritize those things. Is what matters most? What's most important of all the things I could be doing? What is it I should be doing? What is it I need to get done? And then before I turn in at night, I kind of review that in my head. And here's what's been amazing to me over the years: how many of those problems get solved overnight for me? Because I think it works that way. What would happen when you're looking at your list of stuff? Ask this question: what would happen if this didn't get done? What would happen if I didn't do it? Is the world going to come to a stop? Is some project not going to finish? Is there going to be some crisis in my life? What would happen if someone else did it instead of me? What would happen if I didn't get this done this day? What does that look? Create some priorities. And that only can come when you have a map for what you're going to be doing through the day. What is it you want to do? Last week I shared with you that one of the leadership principles I teach to executives is this risk principle: be free to fail. Well, another one is this, the principle of the critical few, which simply says mastery is the art of purposeful limitation. I can't do everything, so what is it I'm going to do? Because something is going to get the best of you. Something is going to get the best of your energy, the best of your thinking, the best of your ability. What is that? What are you going to give that to? And so, how do I prioritize? Jesus had this to say. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What were those things? If you go back to the previous verse, here's what he says. You worry about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, where you're going to sleep. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of those things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow is going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. In other words, Jesus is saying this, hey, you got today. Think about today. Work in today. Do today. That's the one you've got. That's your priority, and you ought to prioritize what's going to happen. It doesn't do you any good to borrow trouble from what's going to happen down the road. What are you doing right now? Prioritize. Share the load, and especially in the home. And I want to talk specifically to the guys in the room. We're terrible at this. We could be better at this. And whether it's a stay-at-home mom or a working mom, here's what I know. Most of the moms carry double the effort, double the load. They do all the extra stuff. And guys, we need to step up and share the load. We invite our kids into that process. How do we get them engaged in the things that matter? Not just simply doing something to do it, but how do they find value in that? How do they find worth in that? I have a friend who says that he is teaching his grandkids to get a paycheck. And so when they're 6 years old, they get $6 a week. And they have certain things they're supposed to do. And if they don't get them done, they don't get their paycheck. His whole thing is I want them to honor how they're contributing, how they're working. I know it's easier to not share the load. I get that. Sometimes it's easier for me just to say, I'm just going to get this done by myself. It's quicker, it's faster. Or I could do this better. Or I know the shortcuts. But we need to share the load. How is it that we're engaging others? How are we inviting others in on some of the tasks that are on our plate, on our list? Look what Jesus did. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12, his followers, his closest associates, the disciples to him. And he sent them out two by two, and he gave them authority over his word. They went out and they were teaching and preaching. Jesus had been doing that. Truth is, he could do it better. He could be more effective. He could be more intentional. But he actually tested. If you go through the book of Mark, it's fascinating to watch how Jesus responded. He would teach his followers, and then he would equip them, train them a bit, show them what to do, and then he would send them out. He would trust them to go do it. Who is it that we're engaging around us? How is it that we're inviting others into the task that we have? There's a fourth thing. Eliminate the time wasters in your life. You know what those are. You know the stuff that ends up wasting time for you. And for a ton of us today, it's social media. And here's what happens. You know, my phone is set and I get little different tones when I get a tweet or an Instagram or someone likes a post or it's an email to me or something. And here's what I do. I pull my phone out and I look at it. You know, it vibrates in my pocket and I see just a second ago it did. And I needed an illustration to get it out in a way that looked like I'm doing this intentionally so I could see who just texted me. Right? We're kind of addicted to that. Some of us, it's TV. Some of it's online games. There's a lot of stuff and ways that you and I are wasting time. If we were to actually evaluate what we do, here's what I know to be true over the years I've been doing this with people, is that most of us think we're busier than we really are. When the truth is, we spend a lot of our time just kind of wasting time. You know, it matters what's on your to-do list. But a bigger deal is what's on your to-don't list. What is it you're saying no to? Luke chapter 4, verse 24. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that's why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. They were wanting him to hang out, stay here, hang with us, be a part of us, party with us, hang out with us, go to our, we're having chili cook-off tonight. And Jesus says, but I don't have time to waste. It was intentional. It was strategic. He was focused on what he'd been called to, what his mission was. Here's the fifth thing. Start with the harder things first. Get it out of the way. Here's what I know. If I put the harder things, the things I don't want to do or the things that take more of my energy and time and effort, things that I've been kind of hoping that would go away somehow, and if I put those on the first part of my day, an amazing thing happens. First of all, it gets the best of me because something gets the best of me, the best of my energy and time and thinking. But it's also when I get that done or started, it's a lot better than when I stick it toward the end of the day, because all day long I'm thinking about it, I'm wrestling, and I'm not as efficient and effective on the other things. I get wrestling, so get the harder things out of the way. How many of you have ever said this statement? I work better under pressure. You're lying. You don't work better under pressure. You work under pressure. You do the thing you could have done all along, but now the deadline's here. Now it's got to be done. Now I got to get this turned in. It's tax day. Uh-oh, it's the 14th. It's the 15th. It's due by midnight. You could have been doing that in January. We don't work better under pressure. We just actually get engaged. Here's what Jesus said. As long as it is day, we must work the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when none of us will work. There'll be a deadline that passes. So do the work that's in front of me now. Here's the sixth thing. Create some margin in your life. Create some space in your life. Because here's the problem. Most of us, we go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing, and we just feel like we can never catch our breath. And part of that is we stay busy for a lot of reasons. We stay busy to kind of feed some guilt. We stay busy to make our ego. We stay busy for greed. There's a lot of reasons we get really busy and take on more than we should. But the truth is, for a lot of us, it just helps us avoid doing what we really should be doing. And if you're not creating some space in your life, some margin in your life, if the dominoes are too stacked close together, one falls over, and what happens? Everything falls over in our life. One of my favorite passages, Mark chapter 6, Jesus says, "Then because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to his followers, 'Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest.'" So here you got the Lord of the universe saying, "Whoa, I need a break. I need a break from the people. I need a break from the work. I need a break from the stress. I need a break." If Jesus needed some space, my guess is you might actually qualify for that as well. How are you creating some room? How are you creating some margin in your life? And then the biggest thing we do, and we can start with this and end with this actually, is to pray. God, what do you want me to be doing? God, what matters most? God, right now I feel like I'm buried under. Help me see my way through this. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. And oftentimes we found Jesus praying. What was he praying? God, help me to do what you want me to do, not what everybody else wants me to do. Help me do what you want me to do, not what even I want to do. Help me to stay focused on my time. So we go back to that first passage that I read, Colossians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. Hey, let's back through, because Paul makes some statements here in Ephesians that I think have to do with our time. Verse 16, he says, "Make the most of your time, redeem your time." Redeem your time. There's this idea that we all have time. We all have obligation, opportunity. We all have some responsibility. So make the most of the time you have. Are you making the most of the time you have? Are you paying attention? And I'm not talking about this idea where we're constantly productive and we're always got to be on task, because I actually think we ought to be creating some space. And I think there's room for some time wasters in our life that aren't necessarily wasted. But I am saying, am I redeeming the time? Is God getting the best of me? And are the people around me being served and honored in some way with my time? Then you go back to verse 15. We're going to trace our way backwards in his book. Verse 15, he says, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise." Be careful how you live. There's a lot of stuff that's going to grab for your heart and grab for your time. There's a lot of things that are going to be outside of your ability to manage and control. Be careful about putting yourself in too many of those places. And then be wise with your time. Be wise with your choices. Then go to verse 1 of chapter 5. "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Christ loved us." In other words, are you going to do with your time what God's invited you to do? Around here we say this, Jesus said there's two things that matter. Love God and love your neighbor. Is that showing up in my time? Am I creating room for that? Is there space for that? Does my time reflect that I care about those things? chapter 4, verse 1, as a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. If you're a follower, if you're a believer, God's invited you into his story. Is your life matching up with that? What's your life? It's your moments. What are your moments? It's your time. Is it matching up? Then Ephesians 2:10, your life's on loan from God, he says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God had prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, God already knew how some of your time should get spent. He's already planned some things for you to do. If you're a believer, if you're a follower, there's some good things God intends on you to be engaged in. Here's what I know to be true about me. Sometimes I get so busy, I'm convinced that I've missed some of the good things that God actually wanted me to do. I was just so busy. Had so much chaos going. And so redeeming the time, being smart with our time, stewarding our time, actually is about everything in our lives. And am I honoring God with that? Am I a part of his story? Is it showing up in me? Because how I use my time reflects exactly what I care the most about. How's your time going? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and for your goodness. And third, thank you that you've given us this day and this is the one we've got and you invite us to steward it. And Lord, I'm grateful for your grace that allows me a lot of room for all the mistakes in how I've used my time. What I got is today, and I get to redeem this time. Thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name.